noticing what it's like for you as you change postures, as you're now seated. The quality of this posture is a little different than standing. And every posture has its particular qualities that it supports or emphasizes, its particular benefits and particular challenges. But within the space as we're doing sitting meditation, you're welcome if you wish, if you feel the need, due to if you're struggling with a lot with drowsiness or physical discomfort, that it's always an option to just mindfully and quietly stand up for some period of time within the sitting meditation. As a relatively still practice, not involving much moving, it's absolutely fine. And likewise in the walking meditation, standing can be included as much as you might find useful, as much as you might wish. But settling now into the sitting, feeling again the ground beneath you, the weight of your body pressing into the seat, the bench or the cushion beneath your bottom. Feeling the knees or the feet touching the ground. And if you're sitting in a chair, I'd very much encourage you to put your feet flat on the ground. And if you need to put something under them to make that more possible, or something under your bottom to lift it up to make it work for you, that can be helpful. And if you're sitting cross-legged on the floor, if your knees aren't in contact with the ground and you have some item of clothing or blanket you could just put underneath your knee to support it so it's not hanging in space too much, that can also be helpful for just giving a stable and grounded contact with the earth. And having established that stable and grounded contact with the earth, giving attention to the uprightness of the body, we can just allow ourselves again to be intentional with this posture, breathing into the belly. And as it fills, allowing that to lift the rib cage, so the sternum rises and the torso, the upper torso gently tilts backwards. Shoulders can start to almost slide off the back a little bit. And then when the breath, as we breathe out, not collapsing forward over the belly, but just allowing the belly to drop while the torso stays open. So there's a sense of rising up through the body, through the neck and the head, sense of lifting or upwards oriented intentionality to be upright. And then around that core of intentional uprightness, allowing yourself again to relax, to consciously invite the possibility of releasing any holding or tension that may not be required right now for your body to be sitting here and be supported to be upright. And just noticing again around the face, the eyes, the mouth, the jaw, around the head, the temples, the back of the head, the neck, and the shoulders. Without forcing or trying to make anything release or relax, just inviting that possibility. And just as the in-breath supports primarily the upright quality of the body as it fills and inflates the torso, so too the out-breath supports a relaxing and releasing, a letting go. And in this rhythm and cycle of breathing in and breathing out, we can find a posture of relaxed uprightness. engaged but at ease. And bringing your attention to this movement of breathing in and breathing out, taking place in your body as you sit here, moment by moment. Not trying to fix the attention in a particular point or place or experience, but just connecting with the ripple and flow of experience arising in your body as it breathes in and as it breathes out. Letting this be the central reference point of focus and the place to which you can return again and again. And if as you're sitting, it's hard for you to sense the experience of breathing in your body, so we're looking for the actual felt experience, not some idea or concept or visualizing or thinking about it, but feeling it directly. If that's not easy for you, you may find it useful to just place gently the soft open palm of your hand against the upper abdomen or the sort of the middle, lower middle chest region. If you do that, you may notice that the experience of body breathing becomes more clear and distinct. And it's not required, but if you find it useful, you can employ that, so far as it's useful for you. But just now settling into to being right here, where you are, with this experience of body breathing in. This experience of body breathing out. And having the intention to gather, to collect, to focus this heart and mind in the experience of being mindful, being aware of, being sensitive to this body breathing. And where other experiences might arise, as they will, maybe sounds, maybe thoughts, maybe feelings or images or other sensations in your body, just acknowledging when they arise without judging them or pushing them away, nor yet needing to pursue them or seek from them any outcome. So letting them be. Coming back to your body, sitting right here, breathing, just as it is. And being conscious, aware and sensitive to this experience moment by moment, right here, right now, just as you are. And when you notice that you've become lost, disconnected, or distracted, without judging yourself for the experience, simply beginning again, reconnecting with the felt experience of your body sitting here, breathing in and breathing out, coming back again and again to the simple immediacy of this. when the bell sounds, just listening to that experience as the sound arises, continues for a little while and then fades away. And only when the sound has faded into the silence, again, taking that as the indicator that the formal meditation period has concluded. And noticing what it's like for you to be present through that process of listening. And then ending. So taking a moment to adjust your bodies if you need to bring any relief or release of tension or discomfort so far as you can. Just noticing what it's like to stay in contact with what's happening for you as you do that. So that meditation doesn't suddenly end and we abandon ourselves to our habitual preoccupations, but that we more notice how we're quite keen to abandon ourselves to our preoccupations, and it's a little sometimes disappointing to be invited not to. And so something I've noticed for myself many times and in leading retreats and sittings as we are here together doing, that often there's a sense of the sitting ending. And it's kind of like there's often a palpable relief. It's over. Phew, made it. And yet the really interesting thing is that the moment just after the bell isn't really very different from the moment just before it. But sometimes we think or feel and experience as if it is. And so maybe something's been going on that it's useful to become aware of. Some kind of pressure. Maybe it's the pressure of having to sit in a posture. It's not always easy. Maybe it's the pressure of having to pay attention and be present. Not always easy. But seeing what it's like, and what I find really useful is in that knowing that the sitting is about to end, but it hasn't yet ended. To be really present in that. And I'm curious if anyone noticed anything through that just now, and you could let me know if you did. You don't have to, but it's an opportunity for some variation from me speaking. But, there's always a risk of more of me speaking. So what I notice is, for myself, that there's a sort of a smoothing out of the transition from one form to another, and more space for the actually carrying of the intention to be awake through the different experience. So you can explore for yourself and see if that's so. But that's certainly the instruction in terms of the bell at the end of sittings, that the sitting ends not when the bell rings, but when the sound has faded away. I kind of like the fact that that's not a sudden moment. It's a sort of a, is it gone, is it not? And I'm guessing depending on our hearing capacities and how far we are from the bell, it's more of a wave than an event. So you don't have to try too hard to get to the very last moment. But just see what feels right with that. And moving from sitting to walking meditation, which we'll do a little walking in a moment. Again, it's a change of form, of shape, of posture, of activity on the outside. But in terms of what's most supportive and what gives us the most possibility of really accessing the potential of this practice and of this day, is that we really just carry ourselves through those different forms, including this bit where we're sitting and listening, and this isn't meditation, but we can still, we might think, but we can still be present in our body. And it's rather interesting that even if I know and feel my body while I'm sitting here, I'm still able to talk. And I've had plenty of opportunities to notice that I can really feel my body, and I can still listen and understand what someone's saying, that these things aren't in conflict. So it's not this or that, it's this with that. And so we can use the bodily experience as an anchoring point or place or field, is perhaps a better word for it, with which we can through which we can receive and actually ultimately mediate our experience, because we actually process it through our body when we're aware of our body. If we're not aware of the body, we still process it through the body, but we're not quite in touch with the impact of that. And that's how we arrive at a place like this, perhaps feeling tension and pressure and tightness, contraction, distress, pain, or exhaustion in our bodies. And all of these things are very normal experiences for us, I think, and certainly for me. So I'm imagining for you too. So walking meditation is to take the same intention and attitude of being attentive, sensitive, and present, so far as we're able to be, into the experience of walking. Walking back and forth, or maybe round in a circle, but essentially, and it's actually essential in the practice, that we're doing something that involves going nowhere. So back and forth, or round and round and round, and we're going nowhere. So it's not a productive activity. And that's really helpful, to do something that's pointless, useless, and will produce nothing one could sell in a marketplace. Because all of that activity, useful and important as it is, doesn't take us to where we most really want to go in our hearts and our lives, I think. Although it serves us, and we need to do some of that to get by in the world, of course. Something about what happens when we are interested in what's already here, rather than producing something that's not. So in the walking, to find a place where you can walk back and forth or round and round. And I'm aware that it's raining, so I hope you brought a coat, because this is England, and I'm expecting you can't be too surprised in January that it's raining. So maybe we brought an umbrella or a coat, I hope. And there's a bit of space underneath the, what are they called, verandas, porches, fronts of the building where it's sheltered, so that can be used. It might be a little cosy if everyone wants to be underneath them, but one can find a shorter or smaller space to walk within, if that's the case. Important not to too quickly get a sense of ownership of the space, because it is a shared space. And if someone wishes to share it with you, just gracefully find a way to do that. And just notice also right now, what's your response to the fact that it's raining out there? I'm struck by how often, not just in this country, but certainly in this country, the kind of language is used, it's terrible weather, it's horrible weather, it's miserable weather, when it's doing that out there. Of course, there are countries where they celebrate when this happens. They celebrate because they're desperately longing for it. Here, there's not often we have the chance to get into that condition of desperately longing for it, because it happens often enough. But it's not terrible. It's not horrible. It's not miserable. It's rain. And what that means is it's moist and wet. And if you don't have some waterproof on and you're in it, you will eventually get cold, unless you are very active. But you can actually run about in there without a raincoat and stay very warm. And that's the only issue, is to stay warm enough. Wet is fine. Now, I'm hoping you don't have to get wet out there. I have a raincoat someone could borrow if you wanted. But just notice, what's our response to that? Because it's really easy to think, oh, I don't want to do walking in the rain. And so with that, we might be tempted to head for the tea room instead. And I'd like to invite you to not do that. Now, if you're not well, if you're ill in some way, or for some significant reason of your bodily health, you do need a hot drink. Great, have a hot drink. Fine, not a problem. But otherwise, I'd suggest have a glass of water if you need a drink. Or if you're out there and you get really cold because you followed my advice and discovered that you were getting, you know, that wasn't such good advice, and you get cold, it's okay to have a cup of tea. I'm not saying you shouldn't. But it's really easy for us just to go for something comfortable and familiar and nice. And there's nothing wrong with a cup of tea or whatever else we like to drink. But there's something really important in holding ourselves in a way where we don't just go for something else all the time. Because when we do that, we actually start to see what's up, what's going on more clearly. So it's a gentle holding and containing of ourselves in that.